It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
The following is a presentation of the Belly Up Sports Media Network.
You are now in the Corn Booth Podcast, a sports podcast from Belly Up Sports and the Belly Up Podcast Network. Here is your host, Jared Clinton.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back into the Corn Booth Podcast. I'm your raspy voice host, Jared Clem. This is the show mascot, Ghost, and we are back on a Monday with a lot of NFL draft prep. He had to walk across the screen, so I grabbed him. We have a great show today. We have some surprises for you. Everyone wonders why I titled the show The Lasso Way. So, for those of you who don't understand, we're all of us at the Corner Booth are very big Ted Lasso fans. And before you think, Jared, you really think you're Jason Sudeikis is Ted Lasso? Not even close. There is no way in hell. I do possess some things about Ted Lasso. I have a little countryness to me. I do make very funny references, and I'm a little corny. But I am too angry and curse way too much not to be Roy Kent. Also, the knee injury is kind of track, too. I can't snap it completely one side, but I can still do it. But joining me now is our version of Ted Lasso. He's relaxed. He's chill. And he's just, me and him have a good inside relationship. Ladies and gentlemen, Jake Spigglesworth, a.k.a. Swagoo.
Matt. I forgot about all those down there. Oh, yeah, it's good to be back onto the Corner Booth. I had a miss last week, but I'm back and I'm feeling a lot better.
There you go. And, of course, there wouldn't be a Coach Lasso without a Coach Beard. He is just as weird, ladies and gentlemen, host of Weird Off with Lip Off, Chrissy.
What's up, Doc?
How is he always munching on something?
Dude, that was so good.
Oh, my God. And
you're Rupert.
In the box.
Rupert.
You're going to learn your lesson? I'm not Rupert. I'm not rich enough.
Yeah, it's fair.
You're getting there.
I'm poor.
You're getting there. One parlay, baby. Change the world.
Yeah. Shout out to Michigan for killing my hopes and dreams. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, also joining us is the fourth member of the Corner Booth. He's the newest member of our team. He will be handling stats prep. He'll be helping me in that department. He's one of the smartest humans I know. He is a diehard sports fan, an excellent sports writer. You may have known him. And I also found out the other day I've been pronouncing his name wrong for almost a year. Ladies and gentlemen, that being said, joining us now with a new and improved background, our stats and info guy, Nate Wynn.
What's up, guys? How are we doing? I'm glad to be here and excited to get things going.
Nate the Great.
So Nate will always – Nate, because of, you know, we basically set up – so Nate's our fourth man. He's kind of using this as a little bit of an internship to roll at the Corner Booth to get a teeth cut since, you know, me – I've been around this block doing podcasting for – holy shit. All right.
Thank God. Thank God. He's done. He cursed 3 minutes in. And
it's early. Jeez.
Yeah. You know, Jared is Roy Kent now. I thought he was Rupert for the past 5 minutes, and then he cursed, and I'm like, oh, back to Roy. Jared, you want to come in? Because
Yeah, I know. I run this damn show. I get you, all right?
Like, yeah, Chris is like, I don't know how to put you back in. So.
Chris is like sitting there like, what do I do?
Yeah, I was like, you just, you know, the coach calls out and then the assistant coach gets in. And I'm like, don't know what to do here, sir.
So that being said, it's going to be a fun show today. We have draft prep, as Nate knows. We have Jared's ranks for linebackers. my ranks for corners and my ranks for safeties today, and the boys will react. I did a lot of research for this episode. For some reason, having extra time when you leave work gives you time to research. I got to watch so much tape today. I was giddy. Oh, my God. You should see the notes app, my notes app page for my quarterback and DB notes. It's insane.
I was watching top lines of 2013 today.
Excellent watch, by the way.
Love the watch.
Oh, my God. One of my favorite things I love about Vine is Vine had an originality that today's TikTok just doesn't have.
Best 6 seconds of my life.
I made one Vine. I made one Vine in my life. I was a senior in high school, and it was just of those like drumsticks, like the ones you get from like the vending, the ice cream vending machine. And it was it wrapped, and then the next one was it unwrapped, and then the next clip was it half eaten, and then the next clip was it gone. I got zero views.
I try to replicate. Is that a weed? No, it's a crayon. And just a green crayon. No views.
I just like my neighbors like from like the other side of the street have chickens, and all I can think of when I hear them in the morning, I was like, look at all those chickens.
I know what, Maddie, my favorite part about all of like the Vine stuff is we were old enough to remember, hey, like I remember like everyone's like, oh, Logan Paul the boxer, dude. I remember Logan and Jake Paul the Vine stars, like.
Dude.
Yeah, Vine didn't last long, but it was the prime of Vine was when we were in our pretty much our upperclassmen years of high school.
No, I'd say freshman year of college to sophomore year of college was the peak.
Mine was in middle school. Jeez. Jeez. Well, jeez.
Now you guys got the age difference idea.
Mm-hmm. Talking to my founding fathers.
One more age crack and you're going back in the penalty box.
We're 5 minutes in, baby. I got too deep. I'm too deep.
I just thought of which founding father I'd want to be in.
So many prom night jokes for Chris tonight. This is way too easy.
I was trying to think of which founding father I'd want to be, but when you really analyze them all, were they really good people?
Yes, they were. They just also made mistakes because no one, nobody's perfect. What they did wasn't great, but also they founded the greatest country ever invented. So, you know.
Could I be the rock that they made it out of?
Yes. I would never listen. I would never ever say that any of them were perfect humans, but I would say they did something great.
I don't know how you do it with ink and a feather. I don't know how, you know, they got the words out.
They basically told the biggest empire in the entire world to screw off. This is our free land. Now, I wish they, history, revisionist history, they could, could have expanded that to more than just a singular group of people. But, you know.
Yeah, it's true. Well,
baby steps. Yeah. It just took until 1865.
God.
America.
Imagine where they're like, they needed a feather to write something down, and somebody's like, sir, it'd be an honor if you could pluck just a feather.
Drop a freaking owl to write a feather.
Bro, next time I go to my barber, I'm asking for the Ben Franklin haircut. He's gonna be like, dude, I'm trying to be a founding father.
Yeah.
Can you give me the John Hancock?
Give me the Thomas Jefferson.
Give me the TJ. All right. Well, first of all, gentlemen, I cannot ignore this enough. Nate's debut at the corner booth has already kicked off to an astounding success. So to tell you guys the story, usually our show process goes like this. Sunday into Monday, I usually do some of the prep work, throw a couple of tasks in the chat, create the link, whatever. I pass it to the boys, let them kind of write a couple things in. Usually have about 10, 15 things written in the thing. We kind of filter our way through. And, you know, I usually don't get around to doing the graphic because my job is very busy. Until about 3 or 4 o'clock, we share it. It's a quick update. We're going to work on the process, obviously, now we're getting into trying to become a more of a mainstream with Belly Up show. Here's the kicker. I throw this in the chat, said, hey, Nate, join the notes. Let's see if you can get some in there. Dude writes a damn paragraph for everything. I'm like, this is the most preparation for a podcast I've done since our NFL preview. I was like, holy smokes. Like, I was showing my counter guy. I'm like, Kyle, look at this, man. I'm so proud, but laughing at in the same time, like, dang.
A tear came out of my eye when I opened it. Dude, it was even in MLA format. Dude, that's a stat.
I know. I'm just sitting here like, dude, I feel like such a bum right now. Oh, my Lord. All right. So without further ado, we have so much to talk about today, so we're going to get rolling. So, Nate, hell of a debut to start. So the Masters, okay? We got to talk about it. Scottie Scheffler, congrats. Another major. We're in the Scottie Scheffler era. He's the best golfer in the world. The only time I'll ever go for our boy Caesar. Second of all, Max Homa finishes in the top three. Love it for our fellow Eagles fan there, Chrissy. Bryson DeChambeau finishes in the top three.
That's awesome.
Tiger Woods, plus 16. A little hard to swallow, but he finished the tournament. That's the key.
Made the final cut. That's huge.
In months. I love it. All right. So, congrats to Scottie Scheffler and the Masters. John Rahm just fluttered out so fast. That was brutal. But hell of a Masters as always. Really kind of was rooting for Max Homa because he was on fire. He's always kind of been a middle-of-the-road golfer and really started getting after it. Other breaking news. The New York Jets debuted their new – Matt, would you call those new retro uniforms? New retro-themed uniforms?
Yeah. I would preference it as they took the 1980s uniforms and just pretty much brought them to modern day and just cleaned them up a little bit. I mean, these things are beautiful if you have not seen them yet. They are – it is the legacy white uniforms from last year. Just take that same uniform but make it green and make the white green and the green white on that, and that's pretty much the green jersey. I like Kevin was saying in the chat, I love the thick white collar around the green jersey, the stripes. It just looks very vintage, but very modern day vintage. It's a beautiful, crisp uniform. It's not overdone. It's not two-toned like that Atlanta bullshit they got. Oh, bull crap they got going on down there.
30 seconds.
Okay, I'll build on that. These are really cool. These are really, really cool
uniforms. Oh, no, they're super clean. Nice. That's my favorite part. Dude, Nate's been in every single box today on the show.
They're very simple, and that sometimes simple is fine. You don't have to go crazy. Like I said, the Atlanta two-tone jerseys, I don't like the whole two-tone color jersey. It's not flashy, and it's not boring. It's just clean to the point, flashy, shiny. It's nice. Even the black uniforms – it kind of looks similar to the old ones, but the helmet's nice. I like the black helmet.
I was going to say that too. I was going to say that because, like, I don't know if they're the same helmets from last year, but, like, I like the little jet on top of the wording. Yeah. I think that looks pretty sick.
Yeah, the only weird thing was they made an alternate logo as that little jet, but nothing else. And it's just the oval with that little jet stream. It's cool, but it's kind of weird because it looks like it's just not finished, but it's just an alternate logo.
Sauce Gardner in this picture looks so hard.
They did a good job all around. I think my black ones are my favorite for sure out of the three.
I think the whole thing looks solid. I am a big fan of I was not a fan of their uniforms last year. It was not a good look. Like I miss the 2000s Jets uniforms, man. That's what I grew up on. And then they go to these ones the last couple of years. When I think of these uniforms that I've had the last two seasons, I think of Sam Darnold making out with a middle school teacher and getting mono. Yeah, I don't think of anything good associated with the Jets.
All I think of is like the Adam Gase era, and it's just a big blur. It's not good.
Yeah, it's not.
Was he the coach who did cocaine?
On the Jets sideline during a preseason game, he didn't do cocaine. He took out a smelling salt and just went like this and just was like, I don't know.
Me with pre-workout. Got it.
Yeah. He literally, it was on video. He just goes, and then he just goes, and I'm like, I think that was.
Wow.
I've only seen one thing do that to somebody's face. Yes. He just hit a
spot. Before you judge, Chris, yes, that was my one degenerate moment right there.
What? You hit a bump?
Snorting pre-workout.
Oh, dude. You ever snort beer? Dude, you get messed up. Dude, I used to snort
beer. I forgot. I'm in the chat with Chris. Why did I even think this was the most
interesting? Yeah, why did you think the weirdest thing you did would be weird?
No, this is the same guy who did the – we're not going to bring up for the 15th time in the last 2 weeks. I promise him I stop. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
Snort beer, it's something to test out.
It's something different. I can honestly say I've never done it. Other breaking news, we have – Mr. Slim Reaper, Devontae Smith signing a 3-year extension. Basically, the best part about this deal is it doesn't kick in until 2026. I love it. $75 million extension, 51 guaranteed. Nate, thank you for the numbers. Only 25 years old, back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons. You keep the duo of Smitty and AJ together. This is Howie being Howie. They still have, I believe, what, over $40 million of cap space left or something?
And something like that. Howie's really good at restructuring.
They basically paid their guard, their tackle, both receivers, their quarterback. Oh, and a superstar free agent running back. So, yeah. Wow. Yeah, so Howie's just better at his job than you, other GMs.
Well, when he puts talent around the quarterback, but they actually, like, win, like, besides, like, you know, Los Angeles, you know, not to throw jabs out there or, you know, Dallas, but when they actually win and then they get the job done and then players see that, they're going to want to come, and they're either some of them might take a discount to stay. Some of them are going to be willing to restructure their contract. So I think the salary cap is real to an extent. But when you have a team that consistently has success, has won it all, has gotten back there, and you know they're going to probably get back there eventually, like, why wouldn't you want to go there? Why wouldn't you want to restructure your deal to stay in order to get other people there? Like, it's just genius. I think when
creating the culture.
Yeah. Jared, how many teams do you think – you can't do this. I don't know if you can do this. I don't think you can. But how many teams do you think reached out and say, hey, is Howie Roseman up for trade? Would you trade for him? How many first-round picks you want to throw at him?
I bet you the phone gets hung up on so fast.
Oh, yeah. Dude.
Like, they, you know, probably, dude, he basically gets to run that thing like his personal, like ultimate team for Madden. And, like, there's not enough money in the world. He loves the fact that it's his.
I want him to run my finances. Like, I'm sick of spending money on suites. Like, if he can cut back my suites finances.
Oh, I know how you do it. Overdo it to the fact where your mouth's burning at 8 o'clock in the morning when you're walking to work like me after downing a king-size candy bar at 7 a.m.
That's usually when I drop an Oppenheimer. That's a good 8 a.m.er.
Yeah, if I'm Jeffrey Lurie, I'm pretty much like, Howie, how long do you want to, like, how long do you plan on doing this for? Another 10 years? All right, write it out. We'll extend you now. He's not
limited money. There's a way you can get unlimited money. You should
give the only way he leaves Philly is just by retirement. There's just no.
Yeah, he's already at the top of the food chain. Like, what else can he do? He's already the president of the president and the GM. Like,
I shook his hand one time at the NFL draft, and remember that one SpongeBob episode where, like,
he didn't want to wash his hand.
Yeah, didn't want to wash his hand. I didn't want to wash my flipper at all. Because Howie Roseman.
Oh, it was that stinky dude that shook Pearl's hand or something, and she was like, "I'm never washing my flipper."
Yeah, and then Bubble Buddy out of nowhere comes up and just shakes the
flipper. Damn Cowboys fan.
Yeah, stupid Cowboys fan was in the bathroom for 3 hours, held up the line. What a crumb.
I'm really glad though they made the move now, just because he's young, and by the time that his contract is over, there's going to be other receivers setting the standard in terms of contracts. So just paying him now is the best idea.
Yeah, he's right. You got Jefferson, you got Chase. There's so many guys. The Eagles were like the smartest team in football for like being like, oh hey, you know, we have this elite route runner who's basically if OBJ Keenan Allen had a baby, and by their combined lack of injury reliability, he's super reliable. Yeah, we're gonna make him like that's our new thing.
See, I just googled, I thought me and Devontae Smith were the same size and weight, and then you know it says he's 6'1 175, and then you know I'm 6'2 250, so I'm a little bigger than the guy, but he's still better at his position than what I am.
You know what, buddy, you tried. It's all good.
Answer. I was just looking at Nate's face trying to see if he was trying to calculate, like, Chris 6'2", 250.
Yeah, dude.
When Chris is probably, like, 180-something.
That's my bio on every social media.
And so you meet them, they're like, you're not like, 250.
Yeah,
you're
like, totally small enough, 6'4", 255, definitely.
So that's my two-day Twitter after I got banned. I got banned 48 hours in.
Yeah, the fact that you got banned from Twitter – is still in your top five greatest hits. That, like, I think, Chris, when's your birthday, buddy? You've never actually told us when your birthday is.
You know, I don't want the folks to know, but can I? Should I say it off air? Nah, I'll say it. September 14th.
That's right. Week two of the NFL season. I think your birthday episode, we should
get Twitter banned again.
Definitely just do a Chris's greatest hits.
Oh, let's go.
Wait, how'd you get banned in the first place?
I got blackout drunk. And I don't know what I said, but like, it wasn't Twitter approved. All I know is the Twitter fingers were pointing my way, dude, because I couldn't even log in anymore.
I'm sure we've seen a lot worse on Twitter, though, so I don't know what you – I mean, I guess there's worse stuff on there.
Nathan, no, there. I don't know what he said, but the fact is I look up and I'm like, wait a minute. Where's Chris? I just followed him on Twitter, and then he's just gone. And I was like, oh.
My account is terminated.
If Antonio Brown just posts random white people every day and says cracker of the day, and he's alive.
How am I banned, dude?
Yeah.
I'm going to have a talk with Elon Musk about this, but, you know.
He probably said something like Tesla suck.
I think I said my dog ate a batch of crayons, and I had an executed with my musket.
Why am I?
I think that's what I said.
You know, I didn't know what I don't know what I thought it was that you said, but it wasn't that.
I've now heard and seen everything.
I knew whatever it was, it wasn't anything like serious. I just didn't think it would just be something.
No, it's
like
the most Chris thing I've ever heard come out of his mouth. It makes no sense. It's like you played Mind Scramble, dropped it in a blender, and threw it on a tweet and said, yep.
Dude, I've come to the conclusion my celebrity comparison might be Theo Vaughn, dude. I just say anything that comes to my head.
If you could go back in time to that moment,
now grow a damn mullet.
I wish you hashtagged Old Yeller.
Yeah. Oh, God. We got Twitter pan, dude. Jared, move on with the show, please.
Yeah, all right. Well, speaking of moving on, the Jaguars hopefully are moving on from their god-awful uniforms. They tweeted out today, being the 30th anniversary of the team, they've tweeted out and TikToked out a rendition of their classic Jaguar uniform for their initial uniforms. So, fellas, thoughts? Will we finally get back those classic Jag uniforms? Even like the mid-2000s David Garrard Jag uniforms are better than these.
Yeah, those even those early like Maurice Jones-Drew ones I like too. Like those like nice little like teal turquoise baby blue ones.
They dropped the picture too. That is.
Yeah.
Wow.
That is nice. I thought the worst ones were, didn't they have like a gold like color rush one?
Color rush, yeah. The color rush year.
That was so bad.
My dream is for the AFC to run through Duval, dude. I know that Jaguar mascot's going to show up in a Speedo again and scare the entire fan base at Jacksonville.
The things you have to picture, buddy.
Are they going to do the same like old school logo too?
I don't know.
They haven't said much about that, but the uniform wise, yeah. But helmet wise, it's still to be determined as we speak.
It's a trend. A lot of teams are reverting back to just taking their classic uniforms and just sprucing them up a little bit.
Yeah. All right. You boys ready to any further thoughts on the Jacksonville Jaguars and the fact they're still going to be the third best team in their own division again this year?
They're just trying to stay relevant. That's all they're trying to do with this uniform. So trying to stay relevant.
Okay. Yeah, the Texans might go 16-1. Let's be honest. They may go 16-1. They might literally drop 50 on everybody they play.
I'm in jag off. That's all I got.
Oh my god. No. We got it. It's finally we're on the board, ladies and gentlemen. Chris's penalty box is presented by the amazing people at Nate. You're a little quicker on the trigger than me today. I love it. You know what, Nate, I'll let you do it. But it was your first show helping us produce, so I was giving you the credit. Chris's trip to the penalty box presented by the great people at Righteous Felon. Promo code BELLYUP for 15% off at checkout. Some of the best beef jerky snacks you can ask for. Go check them out right now, RighteousFilling.com, promo code BELLYUP
for 15. Can't attest to that. Can't attest to that. The flavors are amazing no matter which ones you buy.
Didn't you blow through your entire package in literally 2 days?
Yes. Yes, pretty much. Yeah. They were that good. The flavors are amazing, and I think the price is awesome, too. $6.99 a bag, where if you go to the gas station – market. Yeah, you're going to go to the gas station and pay $10 for some Slim Jim bag or whatever. So it's definitely worth it. And you know what? The world needs more felons in this world, more righteous felons.
Dude, their logo is pretty hard, too.
Yeah, it's a
solid. Well, they did time, so, you know.
Jeez. All right. Chris, thank you for sending yourself to the penalty box to give us our weekly plug for Righteous Felon.
Anytime. Right. Anything for Righteous Felon.
The NBA playoff play-in preview presented by the amazing people at SeatGeek.com. Promo code BELLYUPSPORTS is for $20 off your initial purchase. Once again, BELLYUPSPORTS. Initial. By the way, if you have a SeatGeek account, it doesn't work. I'm sorry. Listen, I can negotiate all I want. It's the best you're getting out of us, apparently. So, four amazing play-in games, by the way. Let's just start off with this. So let's summarize. In the East, we got the Philadelphia 76ers, Christie's boys, taking on Jimmy Buckets and the Miami Heat. You know, Anthony Edwards' half-brother. Cough. Shout out Michael Jordan. All right.
I'd be a little nervous.
Also, in the bottom feeder bowl in the East, we have the Hawks versus Bulls. In the how the hell did both these teams make the playoffs game? In the West – it's literally like the NBA just said, hey, our four most marketable stars, let's throw them at a board, minus the Kings, and say, hey, all of them will be in the play-in. Because honestly, this is hilarious. Who are the three least marketable teams in the West? Probably they used to be the Timberwolves, Nuggets, and Thunder. Now they are your three best teams in the West. Who are the three bottom teams that four bottom teams made the playoffs? You have the Lakers taking on the Pelicans, which is Zion versus Braun. And then you have Warriors versus Kings in Swiper versus, I think, the ghost of the Warriors plus Steph. And I think Jonathan Kuminga occasionally. I don't even know. The Warriors are the weirdest team for me to watch. I watched two games this year, and it made my brain hurt. Like, I remember when we were in middle school, we were in high school and college and post college. You know, you had the Warriors who were dropping 130 a game, making it rain. Klay Thompson looks like a retired guy playing rec ball half the time. Draymond looks like that dude who shows up in black Air Force Ones, a wife beater, and like beat up and one shorts trying to fight everybody. And then on top of all of that, like, I think Steve Kerr is just too convinced he has to be in front of a microphone saying something. That all aside, it should be all great series. So we'll start with the top here. Mr. Matt, Heat Sixers, Chrissy's boys, went from a top seed before Embiid's injury. You got Maxey playing at full strength, and now you've got Embiid back. I think he just dropped 30 the other night. How we feeling, gents? Where are we leaning? What's the key plays?
Well, my question was, is Embiid back fully healthy? And you answered me that by telling me he dropped 30 the other night. The Heat is a fun, talented team. They got players on that squad. You know, they're not a complete squad of superstars. They have a fantastic coach. And you know, they were true underdogs last season. They made the run of the life before they got to the end. But this is the year I think the Sixers are going to take this one from them. So I'm taking Philly here. With Maxey and Embiid back, they're complete now, and they're dangerous. They are that top three team in the league that they were before. That they're now they're just in the perfect spot to get that back. So I think Sixers are going on a run here.
I'm just happy I spelled Pelicans correctly.
Mad Dog said it best. Joel's back. I don't know. I've been watching Joel for the past week, 2 weeks. He's not completely there as far as what he was in the beginning of the season before the injury. But I will say he's getting better each and every game. Am I scared of Miami? Terrified of Miami. Playoff Jimmy is a different breed. We've seen it all the way to the finals last year. He's playing against his former team. He's beat us almost every time. He played us in a playoff series. But I do think the Sixers win just because we're home. If it was in Miami, I'd probably go a different story. But I'll never go against my Sixers. Embiid's back. Maxey's back. So, dude, I'm ready to rock.
Deej said it best.
Yeah, huh? Wait till the role players step up.
The beautiful thing is for these two teams, the two teams behind them are so damn bad that they'll both probably make the playoffs. Like, this team, these are the two teams that are going to make the playoffs, by the way. I will put money on it. Like, seriously. The Heat will win. They'll go ahead. The Sixers will lose. And then they'll smoke whoever wins that game between the Bulls and Hawks. They will absolutely roll them. So that's my prediction. So Heat win, but the Sixers will absolutely mollywop whoever they play next.
That's my fear, because, like, if we lose, right?
You have to play the Celtics.
We're going to play the Celtics. We never beat the Celtics. I read the stat last week. We haven't beat the Celtics since 1982.
Yeah, that was actually in the middle of the winning time Lakers series.
Yeah, that's right. What a time to be alive. But anyway, my dream scenario is we win, right? We play the Knicks. And we can beat the Knicks. But I'm not going to go any further than that, because I've seen my Sixers in the playoffs for the past 5 years. I know what they're capable of. Second round.
Here's the problem, man. It doesn't matter who had the first three teams in the East are just a mile ahead of the rest of them. Even though everyone is now thinking it's a sexy pick to take the Pacers over the Bucks. I'm like, I know Doc Rivers is basically like me and Chris Hammer playing 2K when it comes to coaching. But, like,
I would be pretty funny. We should try that out one time.
We'll stream it. Me and Chris will get absolutely blackout hammered and try. We'll just play Bucks versus Bucks, and we'll see if we're better at coaching than Doc Rivers. But here's the kicker, right? Doc Rivers may be the worst coach in the NBA at this point because he can blame anybody else but himself. The Pacers have nobody who scares me if I'm the Bucks. The Bucks have two dudes who can drop 40. Any given night, no questions asked, can drop 40 on you and call ball game. So,
Giannis might be hurt, though. That's the headline there.
What'd you say?
Giannis might not play. That's the headline there.
So, what is the injury right now?
Let's check. But I don't. Nate's on it. Nate's on it.
Calf strain. Calf strain. He was out for like the last three games of the regular season, as you guys know. But right now, it's to the point where he might not even play game one.
Okay, so he's not out for the series, just out game one. Listen, give the Pacers game one, that's fine. But, like, Halliburton, amazing point guard, right? Miles Turner, love Miles Turner. And then you also throw in Pascal Skinny Boy Siakam.
Go. Never mind.
Like, a great team. But here's the kicker about all this, right? We're going back to this team. The Knicks and the Boston Celtics are the two hardest teams to play in the Eastern Conference right now. Besides maybe the Orlando Magic, who are the best social media team in the world. I would not want to play either of those teams because the Knicks will beat the snot out of you. They literally want to fight you. They are Timberwolves East. They want to literally start a fight with you if they're going to start losing. Shout out to Anthony Edwards trying to bully Bradley Beal. Because Bradley Beal's about as soft as melted cheese. I'm happy we get to play him again because Sunday ticked me off. I think my favorite thing about this whole, like, East – Chrissy, I hope for your mental sanity, Sixers win, and then the Heat just kill whoever they play after that.
You're going to get Boston a tough time if that scenario –
Oh, I know. Heat-Boston would be incredible. I want Sixers-Heat to both advance and be the eight and seven seed, because I think the Sixers will play the Knicks great, and I think the Heat will humble the Celtics a little bit. Dude, because Celtics Twitter is insane. They are insufferable right now. They're like, oh, 16 titles versus 15 for the whole rest of the team that made every other team besides the Lakers. And I'm like, ain't y'all not won since like 88 besides the KG year?
Yeah, freaking guess Doc Rivers won them their finals.
Oh no! Stop!
No, finals.
He was the coach of the team. Ray Allen, Rajon Rondo, and Kevin Garnett. That's what it was. Let's not act.
Yo, Donald Rivers delivered in 2008. That's all I know. That's true.
All I say is this. I think Heat and Sixers, I think, you know what? Fuck it. For you, Chrissy, I'll do it. Sorry. I'm get sorry. Out of here.
Nate, you're up.
Yeah. I'm just really glad Embiid's back. I'm really glad he's back, Embiid. Seriously, I think you know, just the way he plays, he was supposed to be MVP again this year if he was, you know, still healthy and the whole stupid 65 game rule didn't exist. But you know, Sixers have won 8 straight heading into the playoffs. They've gone 5-0 since his return. Miami does scare me, as you guys mentioned, because they have what seven players in double digits averaging on the year. So that just shows how much depth they have. Philly, you know, outside of Maxi and Embiid, they kind of scare me. But, I mean, it doesn't matter, like you guys said. I mean, whoever loses is going to move on anyways. It's just a matter of who's they're going to play.
Imagine, like, one of these teams, like, gets in, like, not loses, and then, like, for some reason, like, Kobe White or DeRozan goes – or Trae Young goes off.
It happened before. We played we were the one seed a couple years ago. We played the Hawks. And we ended up losing because Trae Young was insane. He would just keep drawing fouls. We would bite every little.
What about last year? Like, I think my Wolves were no. Whoever the 8th seed was last year lost to my Wolves. Or no, it was the Clippers 2 years ago. They were the 8th seed and they played that Patrick Beverly.
Yes. You know,
throwing. They lost to Pat Bev and Cat and like a baby Anthony Edwards. And then they got smoked by whoever. I think they had to play the Thunder after that and lost. I was like, how do you? It was the most hilarious. Like the Clippers is the most meme-y thing of all time. Anyway, I'm going to take the Sixers, giving them to win. I think the Heat's lack of depth, and DJ said it best, they play like crap all year. I think this is finally the year it catches up with them. So,
I think it's a matter of if playoff Butler returns, if Jimmy Butler becomes playoff Butler earlier. So, like, if he becomes that on Wednesday. Because, I don't know. I have a feeling. I don't know. Just thought.
All right, Maddie.
Would you tell I let it off, but I still got Sixers winning this one. Okay. I agree with what you're saying, though. Whoever loses, they're going to just steamroll the fucking – oops. There we go. Steamroll the Bulls or whoever advances the Hawks.
Yeah, I know Chris is taking the Sixers, so we'll just move on.
Sixers.
Yeah, perfect timing. Hawks and Bulls, the bottom feeder Bull. I hate that this is the series because both of these teams don't impress me. Both these teams are kind of boring. Yeah, we're going to get Murray and Trae Young lighting it up for Atlanta, and we're going to get Tamar and Kobe White. I don't even care. It's like this game's gonna be on. And I'm like, all right, is there reruns like The Office I can watch or something? Like I'm done. All that aside, though, for some reason, something's telling me to take Atlanta here. I don't know what it is. I don't think maybe it's just because I can see it. What is killing me? It's like I'm trying not to think about like a series. Because it's one game. You get one game, basically. So if I'm the Hawks, just let Trae – if Trae gets cold, obviously, give it to the Bulls. But if Trae even has a resemblance of a decent game and drops 30, Murray is an okay game, I'll give this to Atlanta. Hell, yeah, no, that's fine. And then they'll play the loser. They'll probably play like Miami. And that's a great game. I just think the Bulls are kind of that weird in-between team that makes no sense why they're here. But they're – and the Hawks aren't too, but at least the Hawks have a guy who can shoot the lights out. So,
yeah, I'm going to take my Bulls here. And it's mostly just because it's just – it's the team I chose to root for. And, you know, I'll say the Bulls window was wide open years ago when they had a young Derrick Rose, young MVP Derrick Rose, when they had Luol Deng and Boozer and Noah, and then Jimmy Butler was just coming up there too. that was the time. That was the time frame with Coach Thibodeau there. That was when they needed to get the job done, and it didn't get done. They blew the whole team up. Horrendous coaching for years after that, and they've just been constantly just in the bottom barrel since. And DeRozan has been a nice shining light for this team since. And I'm hoping that he can turn into a little playoff DeRozan. But I'll take the Bulls here. My confidence level is very low. But I don't think any of these teams are going to get past the loser of the Sixers-Miami game.
Nice. All righty. We're gonna get a little quicker now. Nate, Chris, 30 seconds explanation each, and then we'll move on to Lakers, Pelicans, and Warriors, Kings.
Yeah, probably gonna go with the Bulls. I just feel like, you know, DeMar, it's pretty much his team. You know, if he just, I understand the Hawks. I understand Trey and DeJounte, but I feel like DeMar will single-handedly lead this team to a win and end up losing the next matchup against Miami or Sixers.
I'm gonna switch it up. Actually, I'm gonna take the Hawks, even though it's in Chicago. I've watched Trae Young in the playoffs for the past couple of years. He's been amazing. I think they took Boston to, I think, six games last year, if I'm not mistaken, maybe five. But I think they sneak a win in Chicago, and then they lose to whoever they play if they end up making the playoffs.
All righty, moving on to the West, Lakers Pelicans. Fellas, this is what the NBA has been waiting for. The guy they thought was going to be the next face of the league, taking on the guy who's been the face of the league for too long. We have two teams that, honestly, the most fun player on each team that I'm excited to watch ain't even their superstar. It's Austin Reeves for LA, and it's Brandon Ingram for New Orleans. I don't care about Zion's bolognese eating butt or LeBron's receding hairline that's running way faster than those Iranian drums. Either way, I am excited for this game because I feel like it's going to be a slugfest down low. I think that you are going to have a random team score. Also, I'm taking the Pelicans because a half-healthy Anthony Davis ain't worth crap when you have to take on Zion in the post. So give me the Pelicans. Let's go. Screw you, LeBron. Go home.
That's a fair take. I mean, like you said, you got exciting players on both sides of the ball that are going to be playing in that game, and not all of them are the superstars. And it really comes down to, you know, if you had a healthy 100% Anthony Davis, I'd lean Lakers. And I really don't want to pick against LeBron because you're picking against one of the greatest players to ever step on the court. But I think the Pelicans can possibly take advantage of a not 100% healthy Lakers. So I'll take Zion and the Pelicans to upset the Lakers here.
I'm going to rock with the Lake Show. We are watching the greatest player of this generation. And what is he, 20 plus years in the NBA? They just beat the Pelicans recently. I'm not too sure how long ago that was. Oh, it was yesterday. They're probably going to do it again, I think. Pelicans, I don't know about their playoff experience, but I know LeBron's playoff experience, and he's a different breed. In-season tournament champion, by the way. You know, show some love. But, I'm going to walk LeBron and the Lake Show. What did you say?
It's a win in a wiffle ball charity game. Nobody cares.
It's for charity. It's for money.
Oh, great. A guy who gets paid millions of dollars a year wins more money. Yay!
Dude, he predicted Kobe would score 70 points. Never forget.
You know how much that
game – then he said, why not 80?
That the ninth or 10th seed in the West, or eight, whatever the hell they are, wins the in-season tournament. Big whoop-dee-doo.
First
team I would have rather played. Seen, like, the dang Spurs or Pistons win it. It'd be more funny.
Well, I mean, Bron already took that crown. I'm taking the Lake Show.
All right. Moving on. Warriors, Kings.
Nate's got to go.
Nate's so quick on the draw, man. Every time I try to hit it, he's like, nope, got
Nate's got a pick. You didn't allow him to pick.
Nate, I think you picked
him. But I mean, I'll make it short. Lakers. I think the key is D'Angelo Russell. I really do. He's turned it up from 3-point range this year. You know, 41% from beyond the arc. So I think he's the key. Davis has that back injury. So thank you to Larry Nance for messing that up. But I mean, Bron just—he did put up a triple double on Sunday, and Davis did put up 30. They're gonna win, and the reward is playing the Nuggets. So
yes,
they're gonna lose anyways.
It doesn't matter. Like you're like.
That's why I want the Lakers to lose. Honestly,
no.
I want the Lakers to lose.
No, we talked about this on Thursday. I think honestly, you should want to be the seventh seed because. Oh, wait, who's the number one seed? The Thunder.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, you want to be the eighth seed because then you play the weakest team out of the three at the top of the thing because you get to you lock up SGA and you're good.
Smart strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it works out for them.
And they like, all right, we're going to lose this intentionally, and then we're going to go play, and then they're going to lose the play-in game. Oh, no, we messed this up.
But if you're the Lakers, I don't think – I know it's good if they lose this game and they end up winning the next one to play at the Thunder.
Yeah.
But they did get swept by the Kings this year, and they lost a series 3-1 against the Warriors. And the one game they did win took double overtime, and they won by 1 point. Yeah, so it's definitely
like
a lose-lose either way, I think.
It's definitely either way. It's like the problem is the West is so freaking stacked. I was seeing a bunch of Eastern Conference fans today on TikTok complaining about it. It's like, Adam Silver needs to realign the conferences. It's like, it's been this way since I was a kid.
Oh, that
I remember the Timberwolves had like 49 wins and they missed the playoffs by 5 games. And there were teams in the East that were like 4 games below 500, like this, the seventh seed.
I can't stand that bowling pin. Get ready to learn Chinese, buddy. Someone's got to pull up that meme. You ever see that meme?
No.
They said Ben Simmons is going to go to the Shanghai Sharks. It's just a picture of Adam Silver. It says, get ready to learn Chinese, buddy.
My favorite still of any Chinese basketball league meme is still when Aaron Brooks played for the Guangdong Tigers and Shaq starts running around the studio yelling, Ni Hao! Just like only Shaq could do. And it wasn't even like offensive. It was just Shaq knowing the most obscure Chinese basketball association fact. And it was hilarious.
Yeah, there it is. Get ready to learn Chinese, buddy.
Oh, that, yeah. It
was a quick draw.
Amazing. Amazing.
Oh my God. Like some breaking news too. Caitlin Clark goes number one overall to the Indiana Fevers.
Bust. Shocker.
Bust.
Bust. Oh,
bust.
You imagine?
First yeah, she goes and plays for the bust. Big three instead.
Oh, dude. Indiana's turning the page.
You know what's really bad? They had the number one overall pick last year, too. Yeah, they had the girl, what's her name? Aaliyah Boston or whatever her name was.
Well, maybe next year they'll pick two instead of one. Get a little better.
How do you like them?
They have to figure it out, though. 36 of like their 40 games are on national TV.
I still got to rip through 15 prospects, and you guys got to react to them.
Oh, damn. Patrol.
All right. Roll call. I'm taking the Kings. Light the beam. Yeah.
Make it short and sweet. I've seen it before many times with the Warriors, so give me the Kings.
I'm gonna take the Kings, but I also it was funny when Conor McGregor had a picture of his jersey with C.J. Watson, and Draymond Green tried to fact check him, and then he said he would bounce his head off the court, and he said, "Stay in school, keep hustling."
Because if there's anybody who can out black Air Force Energy Draymond, it's Conor McGregor.
He said he looks like Donkey from Shrek. Ever see that mean tweet? Oh my goodness.
I forgot about that.
Nate, if you can find that picture where it's like the little description.
Okay, we won't pull that one up today, but yes, everyone can put two and two together, Chris. Holy crap. Oh, my God. That was funny. All right. Nathan.
The Kings can't slow Curry down. Curry's averaged 31 points per game against the Kings this year. He put up 50 in Game 7 last year in the playoffs. I'm going to go Warriors.
Everybody say Warriors. I might switch my pick now. I'm sold. Go Warriors.
See, I'm a man of my word, and I stick to my game. All right. Everyone pick?
Yeah.
All right. We will also talk NBA playoffs once the I believe the play-in is going to last the next, what, next 3, 4 days, 5 days?
Mm-hmm.
All right. When playoffs start Saturday, right?
There it is. Oh my god.
Nate's got the quickest draw on the planet.
He's the best.
It's the grin. Oh, because my I can see that donkey grin from Shrek, and it's literally the way he's smiling right now, grinning.
Oh my god. He's cheesing hard, dude.
Oh my lord. He's just going at it,
Draymond.
Right now. Oh Jesus. All right, we got to move on. As much as I would love to just crap on Draymond Green being a mediocre basketball player and a bully, we got to do this. NFL Draft Prep presented by the amazing folks at Canhips.com. Promo code BELLYUP 20% off. Anybody who knows me knows I blow through a tin of this every 2 weeks. These people are great people. They have shipped me orders when they've messed up one tin in my sleeve. They also now have 50 milligram extra strength ones for dipheads like me who need the extra stress relief. That being said, go check them out right now. Canhips.com, promo code BELLYUP20 for 20% off your purchase. Also, any orders over $50, free shipping. Boom. Huge value. All right, we're starting off with the fellas in the back three. We're going linebackers. All righty. I actually did my homework for this one to the point where I actually got a little of a headache. So we're starting with the rankings. So number five, we're going to go with a guy whose name actually took me a little bit to pronounce. So it's Maris Liafu out of Notre Dame. Okay. My notes on this guy were hilarious because physical, mean, nasty, excellent tackler, always there to lay a stick, and his instincts for the ball are ridiculous. Always seems to be around it. I saw him chuck a quarterback to the ground like a rag doll on his tape. I was like, solved. All right. Number four, Junior Colson from Michigan. Excellent downhill linebacker. Dude is like a torpedo getting down the line of scrimmage. Can scrape between gaps, making tackles in the backfield. Excellent pass rusher. His biggest problem to me is he was on a bunch of loaded Michigan defenses. How much of that translates him to the next level when he's got a guy next to him who honestly ain't that good? Now we go to Edgerrin Cooper. I don't understand how this guy was ranked number one in some people's draft boards because he's a good athlete. He's a good blitzer, but he doesn't tackle well. Every tackle I saw, he's like dragging off of the guy. It looks like those videos of a lion trying to bring down an elephant. I'm like, dude, you are hanging on for dear life for half these. And the NFL, it's not going to work. But his athleticism and his ability to find the ball and find the ball carrier are why he's at three for me. Now I get to my big two. Number two is Jeremiah Trotter Jr. out of Clemson. Yes, our boy, the Axeman's kid, Chris. This guy is a mean, nasty, hits like a sledgehammer, but also his ball instincts, his coverage ability are insane. He always seems to be in the right spot, in the right place for his coverage. Most of the time you always see linebackers, they're either in the wrong place at the wrong time, they're a yard behind. It always seems like he's around the ball or he's making a play on the ball. Also, when he blitzes, just good Lord, man, he just kills people. Number one, no question, Peyton Wilson, NC State. Combine times aside, man, 6'4", 230, runs a ridiculous 40 time. And then he's a literal – I literally wrote in this, elite tackler in space, a human torpedo when he's chasing the ball. He literally is just flying around the field. And it seems like even when he looks like he's out of control, running too fast, he seems to be able to adjust and change direction and make tackles. I said I would spend a top 10 pick on this guy if we had a linebacker problem, which, hey, Howie, we do. So, yeah, Peyton Wilson, my number one linebacker. Gentlemen, thoughts on my linebacker rankings and my name pronunciations?
Well, you got a 5 out of 5 for the name pronunciations for sure. I was trying to see if my school was canceled tomorrow, but it looks like it's not.
Yeah, we do like to check that on the bottom.
Yeah, PC 118 still going on. But, you know, I pretty much agree with you. I don't know if you had this guy in your – I don't think you did. What do you think about – or if you know about Cedric Gray from UNC.
I watched a couple minutes of him, and I also got to see him play against Miami. He's a good linebacker. The problem is, like, think about the way I rank these guys. Every single one of them stood above for something, whether it's Trotter's instincts, Wilson's athleticism and his ability to attack the ball, Edrin Cooper attacking the ball and athleticism, Junior Colson, exceptional downhill guy, Maris Liafu, physicality out the wazoo. All these guys did something incredible. Gray was fun, and Gray was an interesting linebacker, but he just was kind of average. He's going to be a mid-tier guy, like fourth, fifth round to me. Nate?
I think, first off, your name pronunciation was good. I do have a problem with Wilson. I'm not saying I drop him that far, but I think what scares me the most is the injury history. He got hurt a pretty good amount of times during his time at NC State. Plus, his age is a bit, you know, kind of shaky at 24 years old. I mean, his play is great. It's just the injuries that would scare a lot of teams, and that's why he may not go in the first round. I don't think any of these linebackers will go first round at all, but if the most likeliest is Wilson, I'm intrigued the most by Colson. He grew up playing soccer in Haiti.
So, he's solid. Is there. Chrissy.
Jarrett, first off, great name pronunciation. Big bounce back from a couple weeks ago. Also, I was looking at the names we got on the board here. I like your top five, but how about my boy Steel Chambers?
Sounds like a gun salesman.
Steel Chambers.
Yeah, steal your chambers.
Jeez,
shoot, Jared. I want to hear.
We're moving on. All right.
No, we're not. We're going back. Steel Chambers.
All righty. Number five, give me Terrion Arnold from Alabama. Why did you put him behind McKinstry, Jared? Why would you do that? Well, on tape, I have three problems with his game, and I have four things I love. Actually, no, it's one thing I hate. I hate when cornerbacks in college rely on their athleticism to make plays. That bugs the hell out of me. When you take a bad angle on a route and you use your closing speed to catch up. I understand baiting a cornerback like our number one and number two corners do all the time. Arnold's biggest issue to me is that he uses athleticism to get himself out of trouble. That scares me. He still may have a great career, but quoting my boy Nick Kevin here, who is a big Alabama fan, watches every week, he said he could see him almost transition to being a safety with his physicality. I agreed. Number four, Kool-Aid McKinstry. Not only has one of the coolest teams in the league, I mean the draft class, this dude ran a 4-4 with a broken foot. That's it. That's all you need to know. Also, he's fundamentally sound. He's just a great sound cornerback. He does everything right at 6'1", 185, but ran a 4-4 with a broken foot. Let that sink in. I don't like running when my knee aches. All right, number three, Cooper DeJean, Celine DeJean, DeJean Mustard, whatever. It doesn't matter. I like this kid's game, but I don't like it enough to rank him above my one and two guys. When I think of a cornerback, I want you to be able to be a pain in my ass. I caught myself. Pain in my arse the entire game. If you are covering my best receiver, I want you to be a thorn in my side. Either you got to be like Peanut Tillman, where every running back who runs by you might lose the football, or Cortland Finnegan, maybe getting my receivers thrown out of a game for fighting, or Darius Slay or Asante Samuel or Patrick Surtain, where you're jumping everything near the route. Okay? Like, you have to be a thorn in my side as a corner if I want you to be drafted this high. DeJean, to me, has a lot of versatility. I think he's made an exceptional corner in this league. But the only reason he's not number one is because the two guys ranked above him. He's a Swiss Army knife. His top end speed is great. The leg injury last year bugs me a little, but he does everything right. And his ball hawk ability is safety-esque, the way he's able to track a ball. Number two, Nate Wiggins. Man, Nate, I saw in your mock draft for my birds you had us taking him. I clapped. I was like, yes. Tall, skinny, fast cornerbacks for the Eagles. Shout out to DRC. Don't tend to do well against Dallas. Here's my kicker. My number one cornerback is who I want us to actually take it. We're going to have to trade out for him probably. Holy smokes, I wrote. Watched him chase down one of the faster running backs in the ACC from behind and pop the ball out. I will send you guys all this clip. It is incredible. He had a 20-yard head start on Wiggins. Wiggins tracked him down at the four and punched the ball out. Ball instincts. His ability to chase a ball down in the air and jump a route. The coverage ability is there. His hips are not tight. Everything's fluid. His one knock and why he's not ranked number one is he's too skinny. He's a buck 85, 6'2". It's not great, but if he can put on a little muscle, we saw his hopefully soon-to-be teammate, Devontae Smith, dominate with the skinniness. Number one, it's not even close. Quinyon Mitchell, this kid just blows me away. I wrote, Darius Slay meets Devin Witherspoon. Playmaking ability, return ability, and is like a gremlin when he's attacking the football. It's not fair what this guy is. And how he had to fall all the way to Toledo, best corner in the draft. He accelerates through the ball when he's in coverage. His ability to stop and go and make a break is incredible. Oh, also, he can tackle in the box. There's that. And he's like not like soft about it either. Like he tries to actually hit you. I'm just like, you know what? No, he's Devin Witherspoon with Darius Slay's coverage ability. We're just done.
So I like the list.
Cornerbacks.
I like the list. I pretty much had the same exact list, just maybe a few different spots for some players. But no, I completely agree with everything you said. I'm excited for guys like Quinyon Mitchell, Cooper DeJean, Nate Wiggins, McKinstry. My biggest upset is that I'm not going to be able to have a cornerback. Cornerback depth chart room of Sauce Gardner and Khalid McKinstry on the same team.
That would be super nice. Oh my gosh.
They could trade back.
They could trade back, but why would they? I mean, they have DJ Reed is a really good cornerback, too. They got a solid cornerback three already. It's not a need, but it'd be fun. That'd be fun. Yeah. Khalid McKinstry and Sauce Gardner.
I got Cooper DeJean is my number one on my board just because you had him at three. And I was looking at all the not us experts, because we know everything about football, every little detail, but like the outside experts. And they're also ranking Cooper DeJean as number one. So
I'm an original.
You think alike?
I think on my own here. And my biggest problem with DeJean was
the legs.
The leg injury, but also
I evaluated it, dog. It's
freak
okay.
Here's the problem. It's the freak athleticism of Mitchell and Wiggins that DeJean does not have. I did not see DeJean drop 5 yards behind a receiver, plant his foot, and go full fifth gear, accelerate through a curl route and pick it off. I didn't see him do that on the tape. A lot of his throws were deep down the field. Now, is he going to be a great cornerback when he's playing 45 yards off the ball? Yes. But I could tell, Mitchell, Wiggins, hey Mitchell, I need you to go cover Jay Jets, man-to-man. I'm not worried about him getting smoked over the top. I'm worried about him getting cooked underneath as a rookie. But I could say the same thing to Wiggins trying to go cover, keeping stride for stride with Tyreek Hill. Do I think he's going to be able to stay with Hill? No. But do I think he can run with him? Yeah, probably. Cooper DeJean is fast. But if I want a number one corner, I want him to do everything. Now, I think Cooper DeJean could be the best nickel corner in the entire league. He has that potential. But as an outside guy, I see him as like a mid-teens, 20s kind of guy ranking-wise at his peak.
Might have to get his jersey just to show him support. So, whoever he gets drafted besides
you and freaking DJ on this Jason Sehorn revenge BS, I don't get it.
He's bad.
All right, Nate, finish us strong here. We'll move on to safeties.
Oh, yeah, I think McKinstry putting him at four. I love McKinstry. He's one of the smartest, if not the smartest corner in the draft. He started as a true freshman, actually, for Nick Saban, which is pretty impressive, and that says a lot as it is. I really love Mitchell, though. No other corner in college football, in the FBS specifically, has forced more incompletions than him. He's like one of the highest graded corners in college football last year with like 91.5 was his grade. Mm-hmm. And he's just so mm-hmm. – and not only is he fast and athletic, but he's great in coverage. And whoever gets him is going to be really lucky, to be honest. Maybe the Giants get him? Probably not, but I can hope. He's really good.
I think you guys have so many more glaring needs than
corner. We do. Trust me. Corner's like, we'll probably just corner in like the third or fourth round, maybe, but the corner
class. I could see you guys getting like maybe Arnold or McKistry at the in the second round.
We're going quarterback second round. We're not going quarterback in the first.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to safeties, my friends. So, number five, this is total fan bias because after four, there's like a drop-off in talent, and they're all kind of the same, but it's James Williams. I've watched this guy play live twice. I watched him play on Saturdays 1,000 times. True freshman at Miami. My first impression was, holy hell, he's 6'4" and runs a 4.4. What a monster. Oh, by the way, in person, he's even bigger and scarier. I was at BC this year with Kevin and our boy, Mr. Maserati. We're in the front row. I watched him knock a dude's block off and force a fumble. And I'm just like, like I thought I was watching like Mortal Kombat. Yeah, his ceiling is like a Cam Chancellor-esque big body box receiver with a little center field ability. Safety, sorry. Anyway, James Williams is my sleeper. That's why I put him at five. I think the fact is he also had a great combine for his size. It's 6'4". Come on. Jaden Hicks. Now, this dude's interesting because he does everything on tape for Washington State. His third play on his highlight tape is him knocking some dude almost unconscious. The next play after that, he's running with a receiver and picking off a pass. I wrote Malcolm Jenkins I circled Malcolm Jenkins. That's what I wrote next to his name. I said, this dude's giving me Malcolm Jenkins vibes. Just everything you need done, he does it. Dude blocks a damn kick on his highlight tape. Like, that's ridiculous. Okay, come on. So, Jaden Hicks, I love a lot, but I just love the three guys on the three guys I have above him a little more. But Hicks to me is that Swiss Army knife safety that, you know, like the CJ Gardner Johnson, the Jeremy Chin, Malcolm Jenkins, like the guy who can kind of just throw all over the field and just have him be, oh, and of course the Honey Badger, like a weapon kind of on defense. Number three, before my voice goes out, Cam Kitchens for Miami. This is not fan bias here. They have him ranked third or fourth in most of these. An absolute ball hawk. Going back and watching his tape, I even sent this to Chris because Chris hadn't watched any tape on any players yet. And I said, Chris, go watch Kitchens for 5 minutes.
I was sold. I was so sold. It was like I bought a new car.
Dude literally just can cover center field like a champ. Always seems to be making tackles around the ball. Don't let his 40 time fool you. He's a lot faster than you. Who are those guys? Like, we're like, they run a 4. He runs a 4.65, but then on Saturday, he runs like a 4.45.
Weber's dog, though, was definitely agreed to.
Exactly. Yeah, his combine killed his first round status because he was back into the first round initially. Just a solid player all around. He's a well-tuned safety. Also, came back from a neck injury.
That's huge.
Neck or back injury. He got screwed up early in the season, was back by the end of the year, and still make a place. Gotta love it.
That'd be a tough jersey. Kitchens on the back, cooking yes, in the kitchen.
Javon Bullard out of Georgia. Now, listen. This dude is a menace. He just everything about this dude's tape means I'm just gonna screw your crap up, man. I am going to mess with you. It's either he's making jump ball plays, playing center field, or he's running downhill trying to knock a receiver's teeth out. I just love he reminds me of Eric Berry a little bit, where he's a freak athlete speed wise, and he has the coverage ability. But he just loves being an animal and being physical. So Javon Bullard, just everything is just – he's there. He's the freak athlete safety. Last but not least, this was a no-doubter. This dude was giving me like Ed Reed Miami vibes watching his highlight tape. Tyler Newbin out of Minnesota. Holy shit. Holy crap, man. I almost cursed again watching this kid. I was like, everything I saw was him either jumping a route, swatting a pass down – and they were all in, like, the same couple of games. I'm like, so it's not like in one play a game. He's making big plays. Oh, also, he can hit people and make tackles in the backfield. can blitz. But the center field, man, just – I saw why he was number one on everyone's board. He just makes plays, and he jumps routes, and you're just like, where did he come from? He's covering 30 yards on a go route. He's picking it off, and I'm like, what? He comes out of the screen like out of nowhere. He's a big dude. So, yeah, Tyler Newbin was my number one safety. I was like, holy smokes, man. Just – I think he broke Antoine Winfield Jr.'s pick record too. Or tied it. Or whoever holds the record at Mini. But, gentlemen, thoughts on the safeties?
I like the list there. Pretty much had the same exact thing as you. I'm high on Tyler Newbin as well. And then down the list, just like you had, Javon Bullard, Cam Kitchens, Sheedon Hicks, Keelan Bullock. Keelan Bullock at five. I didn't see James Williams there.
I watched Bullock's tape. I was like, eh. I was like,
yeah, it's like you said. You got your top four. And then after four, it's really just kind of, it's just anybody you really want to pick after that. But I think, you know, I like Cam Kitchens, though. I know he's three. I know Tyler Newman's up there. Maybe for a team that's going to be picking safety, but not immediately, I just like Kitchens' upside.
I like Kitchens as like a team like, and this isn't even a bias because I love Cam Kitchens, but a team like Philadelphia who has Reed Blankenship on a one-year deal or two-year deal as Johnson, but they need depth there. Maybe go grab a project guy like James Williams to kind of play like a monster back kind of thing. They're like, besides Newbin and Bullard, a lot of these guys are project guys at safety. None of them are going to be top one-tier guys. You can get them third, fourth round. So I kind of like this. There's a lot of depth deep in this draft at safety. None of these guys are first round, like, you got to take them now. No, these guys are great. Grab them second round. Let them kind of cook in the oven a little bit, or in this case, cook in the kitchen, and just go from there.
Yeah, I was looking at the rankings, and, like, I can definitely agree. Like, it seems like a lot of these guys are definitely, like, you know, wait a couple years and maybe we'll see. Maybe we'll see a star out of one of these five. So, honestly, it would be pretty cool to watch Cam Kitchens if he was in an Eagles uniform, because you did send me his tape and he looked insane. Pure ball hawk. Track the ball like no other. I do like this list. I did look up some more lists, and it's pretty consistent to what, like, the other experts were saying as well. So, I like your rankings here.
Sorry, my mechanic was texting me. I'm like, hey, do you need help tomorrow putting all my spark plugs in? He goes, dude, I love how you're trying to get into your, like, working on your own truck, but just go to the gym down the road for an hour and work out, and I'll come get you. I'm like, works for me. Now I don't have to get up early tomorrow morning.
There you go.
Sorry,
Charlie. Only out of work tomorrow?
Be able to actually enjoy my night tonight instead of having to get up and go to bed in an hour. Because I knew we were going to go long tonight. I was like, I'm really hoping I don't have to go to work early. Yeah, all right. Gentlemen, that wraps up our NFL draft preview, position by position. Kickers and punters, it's a better's game.
We got to do it.
No. Chris, you can lead that.
It's a must.
Chris, you can lead the pick. For next right. week, before what I'm about to announce. So next week, Nate, I love this already that you've been doing all the work here, because what I'm about to announce is something we haven't done in a few years. And it's something that I think that everybody at the corner booth needs to understand. So for those of you who don't remember, the corner booth actually started off covering the draft first. It was something that we kind of started with me and Mark back in the day. Then me and Kevin kind of took it over in the last 2 years because of like changeovers with like everything with, you know, host changeover and my life and life of these guys and Matt being started. It was kind of a rough thing for us to do. That being said, I'm happy to announce, as we go in, if this damn thing would load already, because I have a sound effect ready to go, we have the return. It's Corner Booth Mock Draft 2024, y'all!
No way.
So, not only are you getting my mock draft, Nate's mock draft, you're also getting Matt and Chris's too. So, for next Monday, we will not only have our picks for who we're rooting for in the XFL, UFL. Don't think I forgot. You got one more week to pick your teams, gentlemen. We also have our mock draft. It'll take up like 95% of our show. It's going to be a great time. I'm looking forward to it. 1 through 32, we're going to do a very smart, like the one sentence game, fellas. You're going to get like 10 seconds to explain your pick. You are allowed trades and you are allowed like anything you want, but you get 10 seconds to 15 seconds to explain your pick. We're going to go in order. So it's like Jared first overall. And if we all have unanimous, we just move on. There's no need to over-explain shit. That being said, all of our mock drafts are due by Sunday night, fellas. This way, we're all prepped. So if we all have similar picks, I don't have to drag ass. We can keep moving on. So we're not doing this for 2 hours.
If I have some kickers on there, will you get mad?
What?
If I have some kickers on there, will you get mad?
I may just mute you and just call you a dummy for about 30 seconds. But, yes, I will not
get mad. I'm putting some kickers on there. I know some teams that need some legs.
All right. Well, can we try to take this semi-seriously?
You're talking to the wrong guy, but I can do it.
Okay, listen, if you want to come on the mock draft pre-show and go on a rant for 20 minutes how a kicker needs to go top 10, then I will hear you for it. Oh, by the way, we are doing the pre-show for the NFL mock draft for Belly of Sports again this year, gentlemen. We're back for the fifth straight year. We are doing the pre-game show for the mock draft. It'll be earlier, though. We're doing 6 to 7. That is our show. It'll be a little earlier. So, you West Coast weirdos, just kidding, Nate, love you. It'll be 3 o'clock Pacific time.
Oh, you about to eat dinner right now?
Not yet.
Exactly 5 o'clock. That's so cool. That's pretty sick.
Yeah, it's 8:15. Yeah. I hate it here. All right.
I'm on the East Coast, Jared.
Yeah, Beast Coast, baby. All right. But that is it for announcements today. Next week, Corn Booth Mock Draft 2024. And on what is the culmination of our mock draft rankings. I was hiding it. I wasn't going to say anything to any of you guys, but I wanted to bring it up. Yes, we will be doing a mock draft this year. It's going to be fun. It's going to take up 95% of our show next week. We will announce our picks for the UFL. By the way, I had a lot of fun. It's not Renegades. What's their other team?
Defenders.
Houston.
Houston. Not the Brahmas or the...
No, Brahmas or San Antonio. Houston Jesus. Something. Houston versus San Antonio. No. Brahmas versus Battlehawks was incredible, by the way.
Not Stampedes or the Renegades or...
Roughnecks.
Roughnecks were very... Roughnecks every week are fun to watch. They're a candidate for me. Battlehawks, listen. They have cool helmets. Love their uniforms. I love they have a crazy fan base. I cannot take myself to root for any team from that cesspool south of Maryland and north of Virginia. I refuse. That whole entire area can sink back into the ocean.
The Battlehawks logo looks so cool.
I'll take whatever team Luis Perez is on.
Respect. All right. Gentlemen, that wraps it up for the Corner Booth. And Nate's debut. That's what we called the last away because now we have our 14 coaching staff. Nate, how was your Corner Booth debut today? You enjoy yourself?
It was a lot of fun. You know, thank you guys for, you know, having me in here. And I'm looking forward to the future episodes and have some more fun with you guys.
Buddy, man, you killed it. And so for future reference, Nate will be part of the Corner Booth going forward for a while. He will not always be on camera if he doesn't want to. He may be behind the scenes and pop in to drop a stat if he doesn't feel like going to be on camera. So some Thursdays, he may be like, dude, I just want to hang him back and just run production. Great. And just pop in and drop a stat. Or Nate be like, Jared, I got something to talk about this week. I'm on all 60 minutes. I'm like, all right, bet we're doing this. But here's the thing is, Nate is kind of just doing what we wanted Mason to do originally and what we thought Chris was going to do, but then we realized Chris is too big of a wild animal to keep in the background. Where Nate is great because Nate can open his mouth for 10 minutes, drop 50 tons of knowledge on you, then disappear into the ether for 30 seconds. And Nate's you're like, great. Yeah, exactly. He's a genius. So I'm all for it. Nate, thank you and welcome to the Corner Booth crew. All you Corner Booth family, please let Nate know in the comments and on social media. Also, by the way, he'll be joining our social media team as well. So it should be a fun time. Look out for more TikToks featuring me, Chris, and Nate on the Corner Booth TikTok until Congress shuts that down. That being said, ladies and gentlemen, we appreciate you stopping by. Shout out to our sponsors, SeatGeek, Candidips, Righteous Felon, and of course, the good folks at Belly Media. We will see you guys on Thursday.
Love you guys.
Hey guys, Jared, thanks for checking out the Corner Booth Pod. Be sure to check us out on Twitter and Instagram at Corner Booth Pod. This podcast is brought to you by the Belly Up Podcast Network.